Genesis chapter 12, and we're going to start in verse 10 and go to the end of the chapter, and then I'll just tell you the story of the first part later. But Genesis chapter 12, verse 10, the Bible says, There was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. And it came to pass, when he was come near to enter into Egypt, that he said unto Sarai, his wife, Behold, now I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Therefore it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, This is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will save thee alive. Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and for my soul shall live because of thee. And it shall come to pass, that when Abram was come into Egypt, the Egyptians beheld the woman, that she was very fair. The princes also of Pharaoh saw her and commended her before Pharaoh, and the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. And he entreated Abram well for her and for her sake. And he had sheep and oxen and he asses and men servants and maid servants and she asses and camels. And the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, What is this that thou hast done to me? Why didst thou not tell me that she was thy wife? Why saidest thou, She is my sister, so I may have taken her to me to wife. Now therefore, behold thy wife, take her and go thy way. And Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away, and his wife, and all that he had. I want to talk to you tonight briefly on this subject, from faith to famine. From faith to famine. Let's go ahead and ask the blessing on tonight's message. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for allowing us to be here tonight. Help us to put the cares of this world and the things that come into our life aside for just a brief few moments tonight and look into your word. Help us to realize what we need to do when our trials, when famine does come into our life. In Jesus' name, amen. At the first part of this chapter, God calls Abraham to do a pretty amazing task. In fact, also a pretty scary task. If you read the first part, the first 9 verses of Hebrews chapter 12, God literally asks Abraham to get up, pack up, and move from the country where he was from his kindred, from the relationships that he had established there. That'd be a pretty scary thing if God came to you and said, I want you to go from your comfort zone, from what you're used to. And that's exactly what exactly what God does to Abraham. But in verse 2 and 3, and we're going to read this real quick, God does something and tells Abraham exactly what's going to happen if he does this. In verse 2, the Bible says, this is God, I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So what happens here with Abraham's call from God? God says, if you do this, this is what I want you to do. Then in the next 2 verses, he says, I'm going to bless you for doing it. Now, why does God do this? In my life, when God tells me to do something, he doesn't go ahead and say, yes, and if you do this, you're going to get blessed. Has God ever done that to you? If you do this, you're going to get blessed. Why does he do that? Well, I think he's leaving an impression here on Abraham's life. It's going to be a huge step of faith for Abraham to do this, but also for the people behind Abram. You know, when God tells you to do something, he's going to bless you for obeying. We can look at Abraham's story and we see that God tells him to do this, and he goes ahead and tells Abram, and I'm going to bless you. You know, when God comes to us and asks us to do something, from looking at Abraham's story in the Bible, you know what we can see? That God blesses obedience. You know, I've never met anybody that blesses disobedience. Have you? My parents didn't. I disobey. Oh, good boy, you can have this. You know, this is your reward. They didn't do that. Okay? God doesn't do that either. Sometimes I think we expect God to just bless us in spite of our obedience. You know? And that's just not our God. God doesn't do that. Look, if our parents wouldn't do that, why would we expect God to do that? So God comes to Abraham and he says, I want you to go and I want you to do this. Can you just pause for the amount of work it would take to gather up everybody. Hey, can you imagine going to your wife and saying, honey, we're going to go. We're going to pack up. God's told us to go somewhere. And she says, okay, where are we going? Well, I don't know that part. You know, are you okay there, Abraham? You know, did you have whatever? You know, are you sure God spoke to you? Yes. Okay. So what's the game plan? I don't know. You know, that would be pretty weird. That'd be pretty frightening. Can you imagine him going to his mother and father-in-law? You know, look, I'm taking your daughter somewhere and, we're packing up. God told us to do that. You know, if you tell people God told us to do that, seems to make everything okay. But, can you imagine going to mommy and daddy-in-law? Yep. God told us, well, where are you taking my girl? Well, I don't know. Well, you're really bright, aren't you? You know, it just doesn't make sense. And so God tells him to do this and he blesses him. Then in verse 10 of the same chapter, what's the Bible say? And there was a great famine in the land. There was a famine in the land. You know what? I'm going to relate famine to problems or trials in your life. There was a trial. There was a problem in Abraham's life. What was it? No food. Lack of food. Okay? That's a big deal. They hadn't built Walmarts yet. Okay? If you couldn't get your food from growing it or from killing it, you didn't eat. If that was the case in America, 95% of our population would be dead, you know, because people aren't used to work. They're just not. But anyway, that's a different subject. So if you don't go to the, if you can't raise it or kill it, you die. Okay? So there's a famine in the land. What does Abraham do? They go to Egypt. Point number one, when from faith to famine, famines come. Famines come. In Abraham's life, a famine comes. A problem comes into his life. And what does Abraham do? He goes to Egypt. Now, Egypt in the Bible is always a picture of the world. Okay? And so, do we see that Abraham asks God for his advice? He doesn't do that, does he? He doesn't get on his... And I'm not blaming the guy, because what's my first reaction when I have a problem? I try and figure it out, don't I? I know me, okay? When I have a problem, my gut reaction, okay, how am I going to figure out this problem? And that's exactly what Abraham does. He goes to Egypt, where there's food, where there's plenty. So a problem comes in his life, and he goes to Egypt. It's just a really good reminder when problems come to our lives, don't go to the world for results. Don't go to the world for your answers. Turn to God. Ask God what to do when your problems come. Ask God, look, God, how do you want me to respond to this problem? How do you want me to react? What should our first response as a Christian be? We need to pray about it. Okay? Because we don't know the end result. Could God, even in this famine, could God have not taken care of Abraham? Yeah. He could have sent some quails. He could have sent what we learned on Sunday night, the manna. He could have sent something. You know, he could have taken care of, it was a test in Abraham's life. I wonder when we have tests in our life, how many that we flunk within 24 hours. Okay? That's pretty scary. And why? Because we don't ask God about it. We don't go to God about it. And that's exactly what we find Abraham. He has a problem in his life and he immediately packs up, turns his camels to Egypt. Okay? Famines come. What happens when they get to Egypt? Okay, we just read it. They're not quite to Egypt. And number two, fears come. Okay? Abraham's looking at his wife Sarah and he thinks, I married a beautiful girl. Okay? My wife is good looking. And he realizes this, and he has a communication with Sarah, and he says, this is what I want you to do when we come to Egypt. Now, if Abraham was, I used to go to a barber, in Bloomfield, Iowa, and, as a little boy, this barber imparted different nuggets of knowledge to me and my brother, and one of his nuggets of knowledge is this. I'm a 7-8-year-old boy sitting in a barber chair, and he's cutting my hair. Yeah, I'm going to do what he says. You know what I'm saying? Take an ear off. He says, son, I want you to do two things when you are looking for a wife. I said, okay. He said, I want you to marry somebody that's rich and somebody that's ugly. I said, okay. I said, why? He said, if you marry somebody that's ugly, nobody will want to steal her. And just for record, I didn't take his advice on either one of those things, okay? Just for the record book there. But what happens with Abraham's situation? He realizes, hey, I married somebody that looks good. So he has this deal worked up with Sarah. He says, Sarah, this is what I want you to do. I want you, when we come to Egypt, I want you to tell people you're my sister, not my wife. Because what would happen, you go into Egypt, that and if they saw that you were married to somebody pretty and they wanted that for their, they'd kill you. It didn't matter. There would be an accident that night, and then the next morning there'd be a wedding. Okay? It wouldn't matter. And Abraham knows this. There again, where do you see in the Bible where Abraham goes to God and asks God, how am I going to handle? Why does he not do that? Because from the moment he turned his camels to Egypt, he stopped asking God's advice. You see, when we make one mistake, we make another mistake. It's just compounding the problem. When we decide, look, I've got this and I don't need to ask God what to do, The next step is just a downward spiral of, hey, you know, I made this decision and I did it without God. I'm going to make this decision and I'm not even consult God. That's what Abraham's doing. And so many times that's what we do in our life. So he tells Sarah, he says, I want you, when we come to Egypt, I want you to tell people that you're my sister and not my wife. They do this. They get into Egypt and exactly what Abraham was afraid of comes to pass. That everybody thinks that Sarah is a good looking person. And the people in Pharaoh's courts recommend her to Pharaoh. And it says in your Bible that Abraham gets blessed by Pharaoh's house because of his sister, even though it was his wife. Okay? So now, what's the problem? Now you got a third problem. If God doesn't step in, Pharaoh, more than likely, is going to marry his sister, but it's actually his wife. See, you see, this went from bad to worse to worser. That's a word, too. It went bad. It went down bad. So now, his worst fear of somebody taking his wife is happening. But on the upside, he's alive. Wasn't that what he was worried about? Remember, let's read that verse again. It says in verse 13, say, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well with thee that it may be well with me for thy sake. He's not really concerned about her right now because she's not going to die. They're not going to kill a good looking lady. Okay. He's worried about himself. He's worried about his own bacon. Okay. And my soul shall live because of thee. He's saying, honey, if you'll do this, you'll be fine, I'll be alive, and, you know, we'll sing Kumbaya at the end of the night. But it doesn't happen like that, okay? Pharaoh gets interested, and he is blessing Abraham because of his beautiful wife. Famine comes in our lives. You can mark it out. If you're not in a famine, if you're not in a problem now, tomorrow you might be, next week you probably will be. I mean, it's just a part of life. It's an endless cycle, okay? And when that comes, fear is always right behind it, right? You get a little afraid. Maybe you get a bad doctor's visit. Maybe, you know, that I just had a relation to me just not too long ago, you know, not looking good. You know, some test results came back and not looking too good. You know, maybe what happened there? A little bit of fear came with that, okay? It puts you, you know, it upsets you. You can't sleep a little bit at night. And it makes you uptight, anxious, nervous. Am I the only human in here? You know, doesn't it do that? All right. It does that. When a problem comes, right at the heels of that famine is fears. Now, if you don't handle your problem right, number three is going to happen. You're going to have to face your consequences. That's exactly what Abraham has to do. You look at the Bible in verse 17, and the Lord plagued Pharaoh. Now, hold on. Who sinned? Abraham. This is really cool. Mark it down. When you sin, your sin always affects other people. It's never isolated with you. If you have something that is an unconfessed sin and you don't get it right with God, there's a bunch of other people that is going to notice and they are going to be affected because of your sin. God plagues Pharaoh, and Pharaoh has done nothing wrong at this point. The only thing he's done is bless Abraham because of what he thinks is his sister. So we find, so that was verse 17, and the Lord plagued Pharaoh, and look at this, and his house with great plagues. This isn't a slap on the wrist. God plagues Pharaoh, and it hurts. They're great. You know that word, another word for that great is grievous. It's heavy. It's huge. I don't know what the plague was, but wouldn't it have been interesting to know? Obviously, we don't know everything that's in the Bible because it'd be a really big book. But you kind of wonder what in the world was that plague or plagues, okay? Sin, our sin always affects others. Now, it's going to affect us too, but it always want to, you know, just a side note, I don't want my sin to affect other people. Can you imagine if you've got an unconfessed sin in your life, and if it just affected you, that's bad enough. But for it to affect others, that's even worse. They didn't do anything. And that's exactly what's happening here. Let's finish this. Verse 18. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, now I wonder where he got tipped off, right? I wonder where, hey, it's probably the new people that just rode in on camels. You know, but he does. And he says, verse 18, what is this that thou hast done unto me? It's a question that begs an answer, doesn't it? Look, why have you done this to me? Why did you lie about your wife being your sister, knowing the consequences? Okay, keep going. And it says, why dost thou not tell me that she was thy wife? Verse 19, why saidest thou she is my sister, so I might have taken her to me to wife? You see his intentions here. I mean, at least Pharaoh's being honest. That's more than what Abraham was, okay? Now therefore, behold thy wife, take her and go thy way. And Pharaoh commanded his men concerning them, and he sent them away, and his wife, and all that he had. Do you see what happened here? Pharaoh calls in Abraham, and he says, dude, what's your problem? Why did you do this to me? Okay? I didn't do anything to you. We opened up our storehouses. We fed you. You didn't have any food. You came from a land that had a famine, and we fed you. They probably bought grain. They probably stored up on some water. Okay? They probably got a bunch of supplies that they needed because they just came from a place where they didn't have any food. And Pharaoh says, what are you thinking? Why did you do this to me? What did I do to you? Because you thought I would marry your wife because she's pretty? Okay. You see here, Pharaoh's got more character right now than Abraham does. That's pretty bad when a sinner has more character than a Christian. It happens though. How does it happen? Well, when we sin, or when we have a problem. Remember, this didn't come from sin. This came from a problem. But because Abraham didn't address the problem with God, it started a sin. Okay? What happens when we have a problem? If we don't address it with God and we just do it ourselves, and before you know it, we're in over our head. We didn't start out wanting to sin, but it happens. Before you know it, we've sinned against somebody, done something, said something, whatever it is. And now the person that we affected is confronting us. That makes you feel about 2 centimeters high, doesn't it? Okay. I'm sure Abraham was feeling pretty low. Okay. He was probably thinking, man, I should just shut up and she was my wife. And if I died, I died, you know, but that wasn't going to happen because when God calls Abraham at the beginning of the chapter, God's not going to set him up to be annihilated when he promised him a great nation. I mean, what was he actually thinking? Verse 2 and 3, he said, I'm going to bless you. Your name's going to be great. You're going to have a great nation. And then he thinks because the first problem comes his way, you know, God's going to kill him or whatever. That's not the case. So he goes here. Pharaoh asks a question that begs an answer. And the same thing in our life. When we sin, we do something and our sin affects other people. And then they look at us and they say, what were you thinking? What's the best thing that we can do right now? Now, it doesn't say it in these verses, but we need to confess. You say, you know, you're right. Right in this verse, in verse 19 and 20, something huge happens. Pharaoh lets them go with no consequences. Pretty amazing. You know, when I look at that, I'm thinking, hang on. This guy just lied to the Pharaoh of Egypt. He's been blessed by the Pharaoh of Egypt. He's been caught by the Pharaoh of Egypt. Okay? Why does Pharaoh let him go with no consequences? Because this is really cool. In verse 17 is your answer. And the Lord plagued Pharaoh. You see who was looking? You see who knew the Lord right now? Pharaoh did. He's saying, I know you're kind of a dirty rascal, but you've got a God that's been plaguing me, and I want you gone. Okay? That's why he did it. Because he's been plagued enough by God that he just wants him out of town. He wants him out of the city. You know, guys, when famine, when problems come into your life, don't give up. Don't give up on your faith in God. That's the challenge tonight. Problems are always going to come. Don't compound the problems by not going to God with them. Even though that's our knee-jerk reaction. It's mine. When problems come to my life, I'm the first one to try and figure it out by using my brain, which is not all that smart. But if we don't do that, if we go to God with our problems and say, God, I know you've got my life under control. I don't know what you have planned for my life, but I trust you. Think if Abraham would have done that, this chapter would have been a whole lot different. It would have been pretty cool. We end this chapter with Abraham leaving Egypt, feeling really, really small. Okay, we could have ended this chapter with Abraham saying, boy, I went to God with this and look what God did. Okay, if God can do great and mighty plagues on Pharaoh, couldn't he have fed Abraham? Yeah, he could have. And when we have problems in our life, don't compound those problems by sinning and getting and it affecting other people. Go to God and say, God, I know you've called me to do whatever. I know I am trying to live my life, a life that would be pleasing to you. God, I don't know why this is in my life, but I trust you with it. I'm not going to lose faith just because I have a problem. Do you realize if everybody in the Bible would have lost faith because they had a problem, the Bible would be a lot smaller? You would have had Jesus. I mean, really. If Daniel in the lion's den saw the first lion, said, no, hold on, time out. I lost my faith, a little bit of fear. Okay, don't throw me in, I recant God. Okay? Boy, that would have been a different story. You know, you think about it. If people, when problems come into their life, if they lost faith, wouldn't have near amount of the story. What happens when we lose faith? It affects other people. When we have problems come in our life, seek God, not your own wisdom. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time where we can look into Abraham's life. From faith to famine, when you called him to do something special, and then something bad happens to his life. Help us to be able to look at this and be able to realize it and to be able to learn from it. Lord, when problems, things can be going great one day, and then the next day it's just all upside down and topsy-turvy and we don't know which way's up. But Lord, when we have days like that, help us not to give up on you. Help us not to seek our own wisdom. Your ways are so much higher than our ways. We're never going to understand your ways, Lord. Help us to realize that and keep our faith in you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.